On the line is Steve Linder, the former editor-in-chief of the Jerusalem Post and a prominent Israeli journalist. We're going to be talking about the state of the ceasefire, the fact that Vice President Vance has arrived in Israel. Where are we? What is going on? Steve, thanks for chatting to me this afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
So Donald Trump has stirred a whole lot of debate worldwide and specifically in Israel and amongst Jewish communities with his comments that the latest ceasefire violations are a little situation. I'm not exactly 100% sure what Prime Minister Albanese has had to say, but apparently similar type statements. What's your take on the fact that it's being referred to as a little situation?
Well, I think President Trump was playing it down a little bit in his characteristic way. But at the same time, he has obviously dispatched, as you said, his vice president, J.D. Vance, to Israel to make sure that the ceasefire does advance. And also that was preceded by his envoys, Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner. So the Americans are clearly putting on a lot of pressure on both sides and through the mediators, through Turkey, Egypt, and Qatar as well, on Hamas to finish this deal. So far, Hamas has released, as you know, 20 live hostages. Yep. And 15 of the 28 dead hostages remain in Gaza, and they've already announced, apparently under U.S. pressure, that they're handing over the bodies of two more hostages tonight at 9 p.m. So that will leave 13 hostages still in Hamas captivity.
Yeah, that's something that I'm still trying to get my head around. The fact that they committed to returning so many, that they didn't deliver, that they attack Israeli forces, and then they still expect that the ceasefire should hold. It's just something, I don't know, I'm struggling with this.
Well, don't forget, we are dealing with a terrorist group, and not just, you know, not just an enemy, but they're unpredictable. And Hamas has been like this, you know, ever since October 7th, 2 years ago, when, you know, they carried out the worst attack on Israel in its history. But again, they're playing tricks. We're not sure if they can't actually, maybe they can't actually find the bodies, or perhaps, you know, they are playing for time, delaying tactics, and I'm not sure what their end game is. But in the meantime, they're also reasserting control in Gaza and taking it out on other rival Palestinian groups in Gaza, killing dozens of people. So again, this is a fragile ceasefire, but it is still in effect. And obviously, from Israel's point of view, we hope that it is completed. But it remains to be seen. In the Middle East, anything can happen, and often does.
Well, it is interesting, and I've got the Times of Israel site open in front of me right now, and the headline that was up probably about 20 minutes ago is no longer there, and they were basically prefacing the story of the visit by Vance as a response to their concern that Netanyahu was not going to abide by the ceasefire. It's interesting that that's not there anymore. But you think it got to that point? You think the American administration was fearful that Bibi Netanyahu was going to go in and attack Gaza in a significant way?
Look, I mean, both Netanyahu and Trump himself have threatened that if Hamas doesn't carry out this deal, you know, this war can resume. And obviously that threat needs to be taken seriously. I don't think that Netanyahu had any plan to resume the war. But in the meantime, this week we saw, as you mentioned, the killing of two soldiers a violation after violation of the ceasefire by Hamas. And so Israel needs to flex its muscles and show that it's serious about this, that if Hamas doesn't abide by the terms of the Trump deal and right until the end, that this war is in danger of resuming.
So I was just, you know, I'm just trying to think this through for a moment. You've gone through such an incredible experience over the last couple of days, the hostages being returned, the thought that perhaps this awful war is going to end. There must be a need to believe in good, or that good things are about to happen in and amongst the Israeli population. Meanwhile, the facts on the ground are saying that perhaps things are not going to be so marvelous. How are Israelis coping with this dualism right now? Do you think there's any acceptance of the fact that they might need to be at war again?
Look, I mean, one thing that the Israelis have proven over the last 2 years is that they're much more resilient than anyone thought, including maybe ourselves. I think they've really, really been an incredible resilience among not just soldiers and security forces, but among the Israeli people themselves. And so if need be, you know, that will happen. But I think that everybody is hoping beyond hope that the war really is over for now, and that we can rejoice in the return of the living hostages, and that we will see closure with, you know, the remains of the other hostages in the next few days or so. I mean, Hamas has not abided by the terms of this deal. Israel has. And that needs to be stressed. And I think, you know, Israel did not want war in the first place. And we really, I think the feeling among Israelis now is, you know, enough already. This war has to come to an end, but, you know, under our terms. I mean, we can't have Hamas attacking us again, or, you know, violating the deal over and over again, which it seems to be doing. So, yes, it remains to be seen how much pressure the Americans are going to put on, you know, the mediators, Qatar, Turkey and Egypt, who are also problematic players. And again, they're meeting with the Israelis to make sure that this deal is completed. So I think, you know, it's great that J.D. Vance arrived in Israel today with his wife, and we're hoping that this will somehow put pressure on all sides to complete the deal as soon as this week.
I'm wondering how the Israeli government is dealing with comments the likes of which Trump has just made. I'm thinking of the fact that it contains people like Ben-Gvir and Smotrich and Chikli. There's some serious right-wingers in this current Israeli government. I mean, they must be making it quite difficult for Bibi to hold his act together.
Yeah, I mean, look, don't forget, by the way, it's the Prime Minister's birthday today. He's 76 years old. Oh, wow. Don't forget, he's the longest serving Prime Minister in Israeli history, 18 years. So experience he has, and he knows how to get out of the worst crises, including, you know, the current one. It's true that he is risking endangering both the far right in his government and the Haredim, who have literally pulled out of the government. But there's moves underfoot to bring them back, and also, you know, to placate Ben-Gvir and Smotrich and the far right in his government. So I don't think that he is in danger of losing office at this point. In fact, one of the theories I heard today is that he might even call new elections, because his popularity is much higher than it's been for a long time. And if elections were held soon in Israel, there's no doubt that he would be reelected.
Well, the Teflon man, the man who survives what everybody says is unsurvivable. It's actually quite remarkable. They'll be studying this man for years and years to come in universities, I'm sure. Let's talk about the way the Israeli media is covering specifically this statement by Trump. Are they concerned? Does it reflect in any way on the Israel-US alliance, or are people quite relaxed?
Yeah, I think at this point people are so thankful to Trump for pushing through this deal, where, you know, whatever your politics are, he has proved That he can do what really no one else has been able to do. And whether you see him as a strong man or a bully or whatever, it doesn't really matter. He's managed to push through this deal. And I literally think that he does deserve a Nobel Prize for it, even though obviously he didn't get it this year. But, you know, Israelis are immensely grateful, especially the hostages who were released in the recent deal. To President Trump for this unbelievable development. I mean, we were all so depressed, and we really weren't sure that these hostages who were in terrible condition would return. And yet here they are. They've all returned home. And that is something to celebrate. At the same time,
100%, yeah.
You know, the Hamas attack triggered this wave of anti-Semitism and anti-Israel sentiments all over the world, including in South Africa. And that continues. And that is a tide that needs to be stemmed. And that's why I think, you know, most of the media support the end of this war now, and we need to move on and think of a post-war Gaza. We're also dealing with a people that are in post-trauma, you know, the Israelis and by the way, the Palestinians. And I think the time for healing has begun. And you know, I just can't see this war resuming in full force in the near future, but I, you know, I could be wrong.
I hope you are right. We're going to leave it there this afternoon. Thanks for chatting to me, Steve. Linda.